להכיר חסר רפואה שלהם אחריך ולסלוח דרכם משנה. Last week we began somewhat of an overall introduction to Hilchos Shabbos, so we tried to define clearly some of the terms: what's considered to be an Av Malach, what's considered to be a Tolda, what's considered to be Derais, what's considered to be Derabbanan, and many of the terms that we can hopefully see throughout Hilchos Shabbos: Chayav, Patur, and Mutter. Now we begin with the first real klal in terms of Hilchos Shabbos per se. And that's the principle that's called the Malacha She'inatricha L'gufa. Usually when I start off the shiur and I say the topic of the shiur, I'll try to define the topic quickly. Here I'm afraid if I start to define Malacha She'inatricha L'gufa, I'll have nothing else to talk about for the next 45 minutes. So I'm not going to define it yet, but the whole purpose of the shiur is going to be to try to define what exactly this principle is all about and how this becomes a major rule that we're going to invoke in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So the sugya we're going to begin, you can really start the sugya Malacha She'inatricha L'gufa in many, many different places. It permeates throughout Masechet Shabbos. We're going to start perhaps from the most famous Mishnah that it appears. It doesn't really appear there, but we're going to explain how it appears there. That's the first thing about Mekomos and Shabbos, the Chof Tesla Beis. The Mishnah that everybody has said many, many times, but now we'll try to understand what the Mishnah actually means. So the Mishnah, Rebbe Madlik, and Mechavis, and there, Yibnei Shum Yisrael, Yibnei Goyim, Nechem, and Goyim, whatever Yisrael may list him, Yibnei Ruach Rom, Be'achol Shish and Potter. If a person violates the Isser of Kibbutz, Kibbutz is one of the Lamed Tes Malachos, to extinguish a flame, if a person puts out a candle for the following reasons, either he's afraid, he doesn't want the Goyim to catch him having a fire in his house, this was in the olden days, in the around the time when the Persians were in control of Babylon, they used to have gezeiros, they used to have decrees. There were certain times during the year when people were not allowed to light candles. Everything had to sit in the dark. I guess this would have been another Yom for some people this week. So if a person realizes they have a candle and the guard is going to come and put him into jail for having a candle in his house, so he quickly wants to put it out. So the question is, if he does that on Shabbos, is that considered to be kibbutz or not? So the Mishnah says, if you're mechabes and everything, agoyim, or if you're halistim, you're afraid you want to put out a candle, so the robber shouldn't see, you're going to black out, make sure nobody sees that you're home. Yibnei ruach ra, yibnei achol, or for other reasons that a person wants to put out the candle, yibnei ruach ra, whatever that means, or yibnei achol or shishan, there's a person who's sick, who can't sleep with the light on, all the above potter. So if a person puts out a candle for any of these reasons, so he's potter. Now again, as we spoke about last week, the term potter doesn't mean mutter necessarily. It means potter means it's not an issur d'oraisa. However, the Mishnah contrasts kichasal ne'ek, chasal Hashem, and chasal apsila chayef. However, what if a person is putting out the candle for other reasons? Namely, he doesn't want his candle to get broken, to get ruined. Now, when I use the term ne'er, I use the term candle, I don't mean like a paraffin candle that we're used to, a chasal candle. I'm talking about the old style candles, used to be like little cups, little bowls full of oil, and a wick on top of it. So if a person wants to put out the candle to prevent the bowl from getting ruined, or kichas l'shem, and he wants to put out the candle because he wants to save some of the oil, or kichas l'psilo, because he wants to make sure that the wick doesn't get ruined, so chayef. If he does kibbutz for any of the above reasons, he's going to be chayef. Rabbi Yossi potter b'chulon, chutz l'psil b'reishos ha'pechom. Rabbi Yossi says that a person is potter in all the above cases, and the only time you're chayef for kibbutz is only if you are putting out the candle in such a way that you want to make a charcoal, you want to make a coal out of it, or you want to make the wick usable later, then and only then you're going to be chayef for kibbutz. So basically what the Mishnah is presenting to us, what seems to be very technical details in terms of Malachas kibbutz, that sometimes kibbutz is not a deraisa, sometimes kibbutz is a deraisa, sometimes it's machlokes, what in the world is going on? So here the Gemara has a whole discussion, we're going to see most of it outside, the next half of that Mara Mokom. Basically, the Gemara presents to us that there's really a fundamental machlokes going on in terms of how to understand the whole malach of kibbutz, which is really fundamental not to kibbutz, but fundamental to all of the Chashabas. And that's the introduction of the sugya of malach hashem etzricha l'gufa. Malach hashem etzricha l'gufa means, and again, a very, very limited sense right now, malach hashem etzricha l'gufa means that I'm going through the motion of the malacha. I'm doing the malacha. I'm doing kibbutz. I have a lit candle, and I'm blowing out the candle. That is malach of kibbutz. However, the reason why I'm doing it is for a very, very different reason. Either it's a different reason that most people do, it's different from the Mishkan, we'll see as we go on what exactly the difference is highlighted by. But the idea being that there's no difference in terms of the Maisa. The Maisa Kibbutz is the same. I started out with a lit candle, now I have a blown out candle. So that's the Maisa Malacha Kibbutz. But my intent, my purpose, my tachlis, what I'm doing it for, is radically different from the way it would normally be done. That's what's, at least in a very, very simple way of understanding the principle of Malacha Shem Etzricha L'Gufa. So that's what the Mishnah is discussing. the classic malacha of kibbuy, the prototype of the malacha of kibbuy, is when a person is doing kibbuy for the purpose of creating a coal. If a person has a burning piece of wood and you put it out, so you, now you could use that piece of wood as a charcoal. Or if a person has a wick that's burning and he puts out the wick, and now the wick becomes even more useful. Now it becomes singed a little bit, and now he could use it to light even better. The purpose of kibbuy, at least as was practiced in the Mishkan, as Chazal is describing it, is a person is extinguishing a flame for the purpose of doing something positive with that act of extinguishing. Because now he has himself a charcoal. Now he has himself a wick that's more usable. However, what if a person is extinguishing a flame for other good reasons? There's some very, very good reasons why he's extinguishing it. He's extinguishing it because he wants to save the wick. He's extinguishing it because he wants to save the oil. He's extinguishing it. He doesn't want the bowl to break. He's got a half a dozen other good reasons why he's putting out the flame. That's what's called the malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. So that's what the Mishnah is distinguishing between kibbuy of mipnei she'osa pechem, a person who's literally interested in making a pechem, making a coal. That's the real malacha of kibbuy. Whereas if a person does kibbuy for other kinds of reasons, kichasla psila, kichasla shemen, etc., that's malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa. And that's going to be a machlekes atanoim, whether he's chayev or not. Comes Rashi in the second of the Mamakomos in a little bit of a different context of a sugya in Shabbos of Tzadi Gimel of the days, and Rashi explains to us what exactly is called Eretz Yisrael Gufa. We spoke about it a little bit, but what exactly is it? So Rashi is commenting and says, Rashi says, you take a look in the middle of the first line, V'chol malacha she'ein Eretz Yisrael Gufa, el lasalko me'alov, havi malacha she'ein Eretz Yisrael Gufa. Says Rashi, a malacha she'ein Eretz Yisrael Gufa means that I'm trying to get rid of something. I'm trying to remove something. I'm not really trying to accomplish anything. I'm trying to remove something. Dibritsono lobolo. I would have been much happier if I wouldn't have to do the malacha in the first place. Nobody asked me whether I wanted to have to do this malacha. I didn't really need this malacha. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that that's considered to be a malacha she'ein Eretz Yisrael Gufa. How would that translate in terms of the kibbuy? So over here, I have a candle that's burning, so I don't really want to put out the candle. I'm not accomplishing anything positive. This is not what I wanted to do to extinguish a candle. I'm not gaining anything from extinguishing the candle. The only reason why I'm extinguishing the candle is because I want to save the oil from burning. I want to save the wick from getting destroyed. I want to save the bowl from getting destroyed. So as Rashi said before, to betzono lo bolo, I would have much preferred that the candle wasn't lit in the first place. I would have been much happier if I wouldn't have to deal with this problem in the first place. But now the Rosh Hashanah sent me this issue. I got a burning candle. So I got to figure out how to salvage my nair, to salvage my tzihu, salvage my shemen. So nebuch, I have to do something in response to something I didn't really ask for in the first place. So that's what Rashi is defining the malacha, the principle of malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. And it happens to be the Tana Rabbi Shimon who holds that malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa is potter. I didn't say mutter, it's potter. Not an issue dear Isa. Who is the one who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon? It happens to be Rabbi Yehuda. So machlokes atanoim between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa chayav a potter. And again, the one example that we spoke about was the example of the kibbuy aneir, but there are many, many other examples throughout Shas as to what would fall under this category. And according to Rashi, the basic definition of malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa is removal. I don't really want it. I never wanted it in the first place. That's called the malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. However, Tosfos in the third of the Mamakamos, Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos and Tzadidal Amud Aleph, quotes in the name of the Ri a different view, a different understanding of what constitutes a malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. Bishimon Poiter, Nira L'Ri, the malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa kari, kisha'osa malacha, ve'ein tzorech la'oso tzorech ke'ein she'ein tzricha l'ba mishkan. So Tosfos introduces a factor into this equation called Mishkan. Now again, Mishkan is not a foreign concept to us in terms of Rosh Shabbos. Even though we only had one Shia so far in Rosh Shabbos, we already saw last week that Mishkan is critical in terms of defining the very Avos and the Toldos in terms of Rosh Shabbos, and as hopefully we'll see throughout the Shiurim of Rosh Shabbos, very often whether something is going to be a Derais or it's going to be a Derabanan is going to depend on how similar to Mishkan is it going to be. So the model of Mishkan is always in front of us whenever we're learning Sugyas in Masechet Shabbos. So Tosfos claims that's the issue of Malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa as well. That since it has to be similar to Mishkan, not only does it have to be similar to Mishkan in terms of what the action is, what the physical action is, but it has to be similar to Mishkan in terms of what the intention was as well. So in the Mishkan, why did they do kibbuy? They did kibbuy because they had to get charcoals.
So if a person does kibbutz to get cold, that's called kibbutz d'oraisa. If a person does kibbutz for half a dozen other reasons, he's saving the oil, he's saving the wood, he's saving this, saving a million other things, that's not called dubi d'mishkan, and that's where it falls short in terms of being an issur d'oraisa. So it comes to us and continues. So the ain't tzach also tzach ain't tzrichim of the mishkan el inyan acher ki atzorech shahaisa malacha nasis b'shvil of the mishkan hu gufa malacha b'shar shal. That the very definition, the very essence of the malacha has to be mishkan oriented. So bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi Tosfos, we have a machlokes hatanan. There's definitely a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Is malacha she atzrich legufa chayev a potter? But the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is how precisely do we define what's called atzrich legufa? Do we emphasize the rotzon ha'adam? This is what I would have liked to happen. That's called atzrich legufa. What I would have preferred not to have to be bothered with is called ein atzrich legufa. That's Rashi. But do we say like Tosfos that atzrich legufa means as long as my intention is this on the same page as I did in the days of the Mishkan, that's called tzrich legufa. Once my intention is for something radically different, that's called malacha she'ein tzrich legufa. So everyone agrees there's a machlokes. Rabbi Shimon holds yipater, Rabbi Yehuda holds yichayev, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. How precisely do you define this? How do we pask in halacha and this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So if we go with the regular klal of psak halacha, the Gemara tells us in Erevin when you have a machlokes with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, well, 99% of the time we follow Rabbi Yehuda. So that's what I would have said. Without anything, any other information to the contrary, I would have pasked him like Rabbi Yehuda. That malacha shen tzrich legufa is chayav, is an issur d'oraisa. But there are several Gemaras in Masechta Shabbos that may seem to bear out the other opinion. We have a general rule when it comes to psak halacha that even though there are rules, the Amoraim can overrule those rules. If you have a Feirish Gemara that says we pass it like such and such, even though based on the regular calling of psach, that wouldn't be the case, whatever the Amoraim say, that's what goes. So here we have a Machlokes of Rishonim. What did the Gemara say for me? What is the Maskaras HaDvarim in terms of this Machlokes? So the Rambam, in the fourth of the Bar Mikamos, the Rambam in the Cheshavis, Berk Alpha Lachazayin tells us, Kala Osa Malacha Bishavis, Alpha Pisha Eno Tzach Lagupa Shavalacha Chayav Aleha. If a person does a malacha on Shabbos, even though he doesn't need the gufa shel malacha, he's going to be chayav. And the Rambam gives you some of the examples that we spoke about before. Ketzer Reish Hakibas and Nevit Neish Yitzach the Shemer Lepsila Kadesh Lo Yavet. He puts out the candle to protect the oil or the wick from getting ruined. O Kadesh Lo Yisarev Kadesh Lo Yibacha Cheres Shel Ner Chayav. Itnei Shakibu Malacha Brain Is Kavim Chabos. You can't say the person didn't intend to do kibbutz. I intended to do kibbutz. I'm intending to do kibbutz for a different reason, but I'm intending to do kibbutz. If you have a fish, you don't serve the kibbutz. Then the Rambam gives you another example. Let's say a person carries something 4 amos in the street. So we know that carrying is an issur d'oraisa in Shabbos. There are 3 ways to violate the issur of carrying, either from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, or within Rishus HaRabim 4 amos. So if a person carries an object that he wants, that he needs, within the Rishus HaRabim, that's called carrying d'oraisa. What if a person carries something that he doesn't want? Forget, he would have preferred that it wasn't there in the first place. There's a coat in the Rishus HaRabim. There's a piece of wood or something in the Rishus HaRabim. I guess we didn't realize how significant the mice of some of these things are going to be this week. There's got a tree sitting in the middle of the street. He's got a branch in the street. He wants to move it out of the way. So the Shaila, is that called carrying the Araisa? So the Rambam says, if a person moves the piece of wood in the street, he would have preferred that the tree wouldn't have fallen down. He would have preferred that he wouldn't have to be bothered with this. Chayev, if a person extinguishes a coal that people shouldn't get hurt with, he's still chayev. Even though he doesn't want the kibbutz and he doesn't want to carry, he couldn't care less about the tree. It doesn't matter, since Lamaisa he did an act of malacha, he had intention to do the act of malacha, his purpose was radically different than what we would have expected. Says the Rambam, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha shenetzach legufa is chayev. So comes the Ravid on this Rambam, and the Ravid says, Omer Avram, Rabbi Nachanan, Posek, Rabbi Shimon, Shupote, Midarmina, Pregnota, Ravik, Rabbi Shimon, Svila, Idem, Malach, Shetzik, Rabbi Patrala. Rabbi Nachanan and the Ravid quoted Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos, where Rava Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon, that we Paskin, the Malach, Shetzik, Rabbi Patrala. So here we have a Machlokes, Hatanoim, which just became a Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon for us. Machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, is now Machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. So there is a sugya in Masechta Shabbos that has to be understood in light of what we're talking about, whether Malacha Shein Sefer Gufa is in fact going to be Chayiv or going to be Potter. And that's a, starts out with the Mishnah on the fifth of the Ma'am Kamos, in Masechta Shabbos, Naftali Da'ar of Mbeis. The Mishnah says, Anoto Tziparnav Zobazo, if a person removes his fingernails, not by using a clipper or something, but literally just pulls them off, Obashinav, or he bites off his nails, V'chein Sa'aro, V'chein Svamo, V'chein Zekano, if a person removes his hair, or hair from his mustache, hair in his beard, in any of these strange ways, that's really a different machlokes, it's not relevant to us. So there was a machlokes at the noim, if a person bites his fingernails or pulls off his hair or something with his fingers or with his teeth, is he going to be chayv or is he going to be potter? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Yechayv skila means it's a real issa diraisa, and the chum say it's only a shvus, it's only also a dirabonim. So the Gemara explains, and the father that Maram Makam, Amr Rabbi Elazar, machlokes biyarav of kli chayv. The whole machlokes at the noim was, if you do it with your hands, but if you take a nail clip and you cut off your nails, of course you're going to be chayv in Shabbos. That was never a question. The machlokes is that when you do it with your teeth, you do it with your hands, is that considered to be a shimer? Is that considered to be enough of a change, enough of a difference to say that it's not an issa diraisa? Usually the rule is, if malachas are done kaliyach hayar and they're done in an abnormal fashion, they're only midirabanan. So that was the view of the Chachamim, that biting your nails is abnormal, so it's only an issa dirabanan. And Rabbi Eliezer somehow held that was still considered to be an issa diraisa. But the Gemara says, if you mamish take a nail, if you take a scissors and you cut your nails, of course you're going to be chayav. What's the shayla? Avad you're going to be chayav. Which malacha are you going to be chayav for? So it doesn't say clearly in the Gemara. Most of the Rishonim assume it's going to be the malacha of Geizeis. What is the malacha of Geizeis? Geizeis was when you shear the wool off the sheep. So the Gemara says that just as when you shear the wool off the sheep is chayav, so too cutting your own hair is chayav, so too cutting your own nails is chayav as well. So this is a good example of what we spoke about last week in Av and the Tolda, that the Av malacha was Geizeis on sheep, whereas the Tolda is cutting nails. Now cutting nails is accomplishing, in effect, the same thing as shearing the sheep, not exactly the same thing. They didn't cut off nails in the Mishnah necessarily, so it's not going to qualify as an av that we spoke about last week. But at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. We gave a 45-minute shear, we came up with the conclusion, it didn't really matter whether something was an av or a told us, because everything's going to be a deraisa anyway. So comes the Gemara and says that cutting nails is a vav and it's a deraisa, cutting hair is a teshuah and it's a deraisa, no question about it. Everybody agrees with it's a deraisa. So comes Tosfos and says, wait a second, why is it an issa d'oraisa? Who said that cutting hair is an issa d'oraisa? Who said that cutting nails is an issa d'oraisa? Says Tosfos in the sixth of the Maamar Kamos, in Tzadi Dalad of Abayz, about the Kli Divrei Kol Chayav, Hanuk Rabbi Yehuda, the Bechayav, the Mloch, Shem, Shichol Gufa. Says Tosfos, if you think about it, so cutting hair or cutting nails is a classic Moloch, Shem, Shichol Gufa. We could figure it out, Beimasi Rashi, Beimasi Tosfos. According to Rashi, what made something a malacha shein tzrichah gufa is something that I would have preferred not to be here. Everybody knows, anyone who's clean shaven knows, when you wake up in the morning, it comes time to shave, you would have been much happier if the hair wouldn't have grown in that night. You wouldn't have to bother to shave. But the mice it came, so never, what are you going to do? I have to cut off my hair. Or it comes out Shabbos, at times, you're 2 minutes late before Mincha, and you realize you didn't cut your nails, you're running quickly to go cut your nails, you would have been much happier if your nails wouldn't have grown in all week. But never, what are you going to do? That's the way Teva, Shbrocha made the world, so your nails go ahead and cut your nails. So according to Rashi, those are the classic examples of things I would have much preferred not to have to do. The Malacha of Geizeis, the Shir Sheep, that's the Malacha of Tzrich Lagufa. I want to make myself a tzitzis. I want to make myself a suit. I want the wool. I want to use the wool for something. That's called the malacha tzrich legufa. But if my whole intention is just lahachik me'alav, I want to just get rid of the nails. I want to get rid of the hair, and I would have been happy that it wouldn't have come. So Rashi says that's a classic malacha she'en tzrich legufa. According to Tosfos' understanding of malacha she'en tzrich legufa, it's probably also en tzrich legufa. Why? Because tzrich legufa, according to Tosfos, meant it has to replicate the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the purpose of the malacha of Geizeis was to get the wool in order to make them, to get the wool to make the different kalim for the Mishkan, for the big tikkun, etc. Here, I'm not interested in using the hair. I'm not going to make a shekel out of it. I'm not interested in using the nails for anything. These are classic examples of malacha not doing the Mishkan. So, Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Tosfos, at first glance, cutting hair and cutting nails qualifies as a classic malacha shenetzich legufa, which should depend upon the machlokes between Rav Yudin and Rav Shimon. So that's exactly what Tosfos says on the upside down. Tosfos makes the observation that yes, we have a Mishnah, we have a Gemara that says yichayev skila for cutting hair and cutting nails on Shabbos. But Tosfos says, don't get too excited about that. That Mishnah is only according to one Tana. That Mishnah is according to Rav Yudah. According to Rav Shimon, that would in fact not be the case. So Tosfos sounds, that's pretty convincing, that after all, it sounds like it meets the criteria of Malacha Sheretzich Legufa, Bein L'Rashi, Bein L'Tosfos. If that's the case, then it would be a little bit strange, not so much conceptually, but a little bit strange textually from the Gemara, that here we have a Mishnah, we have a Gemara, a whole sugya in the Gemara in the Rishonim about cutting hair and cutting nails, and the Gemara never made the point that this happens to be Shalak HaLacha, that this whole discussion is only a leave it to that time of Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know your father Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi didn't know that, the Chanal didn't know that, most of the Rishonim didn't know that. So you have a strange Gemara, the Sefer Shabbos, that's just talking all about cutting hair and nails, Chayev, 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 and according to Tosfos, it's not really true. It's only true according to half the Tanaim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. So, again, conceptually we understand what Tosfos is saying, we sound like Tosfos is right, but in terms of just the Pshan the Gemara, it doesn't seem to fit in terms of the way the Gemara is presenting it. So there is an alternate Pshan in the Rishonim, and that's quoted in the 7th of the Mamakomas. It's quoted by the Bir Aloch and Sirin Shin Nem, in the name of the Rivash. The Rivash is the following Shadish, and a Rivash, Pesubin Shin Tzadidalem, Kosav. The Malachas HaGaziza, Chashiva Malacha Lekuliyama, Afilu Ein Sarach LaHaseyar. Said the Rivash, the Malacha of Gezeis can be considered to be Malacha HaTzricha Legufa, even if the person doesn't want the hair. How could that be? The whole purpose was to do the hair in the Mishkan. So what is Tosfos being by? What is the Rivash mean by that? So the Rivash continues. Afilu Ein Sarach LaHaseyar. The Gezeis Oysa B'Mishkan, Shelo Letzarach HaTzema V'Haseyar. Says the Rivash, no, if you look carefully at the construction of the Mishkan, they did the act of gozes, even not for the purpose of the Tzemer and the Seir. What was that? Rach Litzarecha Or, Kagomba Oris Tchoshim. That there were some times when the whole reason why they removed hair was not to use the hair, but was to make the skin look nicer, in the case of the Oris Tchoshim. We spent a lot of time talking about the Tchoshim in the morning shiur from a different dimension. But comes the Rivash and says, V'yalkein chayef kol shu l'tzorech gufon, alfa b'she'en l'tzorech l'seyer, u'mlacha tzvich l'gufi ayitam l'shayim. So the Rivash is a tremendous chiddush. The Rivash says there are two different tracks of gozes in the Mishkan. There was gozes l'tzorech l'seyer, that's classic gozes, that's gozes number one, and gozes number two is to be miyapes or anytime you do gozes to make the skin look nicer, that's also considered to be an act of gozes, and that would be a diaraisa. And the Rivash says, and don't be mistaken, don't call that a malacha shenetzich legufa, because that was also in the Mishkan. So, first of all, you see from the Rivash that he was clearly going with Tosfos' understanding of what defines shenetzich legufa. Everything is Mishkan. According to Rivash, the only question you have to ask yourself is, was that the purpose of the Mishkan or not? If the answer is yes, then you have a derais in your hand. If the answer is no, then you have a derabbanan. According to Rashi, that's the wrong question to ask. According to Rashi, rest it with the Mishkan Shia. This week is the Ratzon Adam Shia. This week, the only question you have to ask yourself is, did I like this or did I not like this? So the Rivash is willing to claim that gozes of the Mishkan were two different types. It was gozes when they needed the hair, and gozes when they didn't necessarily need the hair, just to beautify the skin. And both are equally chayav min haTorah. According to the Rivash, now we're back in business in terms of the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. We have a Mishnah in a Gemara in Shabbos Tani Dalet that says that if a person cuts his nails and cuts his hair, so he's chayav midaraisa on Shabbos. So Tosfos had to say, no, achim ba'eskidim, that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Shimon, machlek is up and on, in the hair. Comes the Rivash and says, not true. Comes the Rivash and says, that Mishnah is l'choladeis, this Gemara is l'choladeis. Nobody would say that getting a haircut is a derabbanan. Nobody would say cutting nails is a derabbanan. It's a real bona fide deraisa because it's a malacha hatzricha legufa. So at Kopanim, we seem to have really three different possibilities now in the Rishonim. How to view getting a haircut, shaving, getting, cutting nails, all of the above in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So Tosfos is taking the approach, even though Tosfos held that Malacha Tzricha Legufa is defined by Mishkan, Tosfos apparently held that they didn't do this in the Mishkan. They only did gozes to use in the hair. So Tosfos says that everything depends on Mishkan, but it's still not a deraisa. It's still Malacha Tzricha Legufa. Then you have the Rivash say everything depends on Mishkan, and therefore it is a deraisa. So the third sheet that was not written on the page, but would presumably be sheet is Rashi, is that the loch partly what they did in the Mishkan. Says Rashi, I don't care. You know, go read the Mishkan book, figure out what they did in the Mishkan. They didn't do the Mishkan. It doesn't matter. Go into Rashi. The only thing that matters is it for Sona Shal Adam that he got himself into this problem, or would he have preferred not to have the problem? So since he would prefer not to have the long hair, not to have the long nails, not to bother shaving, that's by definition called the Malacha Shein and Shechel Gufa. So we have a Machlekes that we show them within Malachas Gozes as a perfect example of something which is now expressing all this call that we're discussing. Is Malacha Shein and Shechel Gufa Chayev as a potter? How do you define Malacha Shein and Shechel Gufa? Then you have to do some historical research. You have to figure out what was going on in Mishkan. What are they doing Gozes with Tzorcha or Asinah? So how does all of this play out in terms of Lamaisa? So it's unclear from the Rishonim how we should pass in the halacha whether Malach Shein Shechel Guf is chayav potter. We said that Machlokes is the Rambam and the Ravid, it's hard for us to be Machriya. But there is a statement in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Shenev, I should have put it on the Maror Tamos, where this halacha is going on the Shulchan Aruch. But in the beginning in Siman Shenev, so the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person cuts the hair on Shabbos, they're going to be chayav. The Shulchan Aruch writes the Feirish, that's considered to be a Malach HaDiraisa. So the question is, what do we do with that statement? What do we see the Shulchan Aruch is telling us? How is the Shulchan Aruch paskening based on that statement? So you have Machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim, what's behind the Shulchan Aruch? So there were some Acharonim who said, you know what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about? How come I ask you and you're cutting your hair because you want to use the hair? That's what some Acharonim say, which again, it's hard to say that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Other Acharonim say, no, you see from here that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, that Malach HaShem Yisrael Gup is Chayav. Those are the two extremes in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mishnah Berurah in this long, I took a little snip out of the Be'alacha, but it's 51 Be'alacha. So the Be'alacha says, I'll tell you what the emes of Shad in the Shulchan Aruch is. The emes of Shad is that the guy's not cutting his hair to make a sheitel, and the guy's not, and we don't paskin like the Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch is really saying that the Rav Asher is right. The Geizes, in a sense, is the exception to the rule. That I would have thought the Geizes, if you don't need the hair, it's a Malach HaShem and Shechel Gufa. But it's not true. Anytime you gaze is either because you need the hair, or anytime you gaze is to make the skin nicer, either one of the above would be a Malach HaTzricha LeGufa, and therefore that would be a real bona fide Ishadir Aisha. How does this play out for us, a Maisa? No one's here getting haircuts on Shabbos, no one's cutting, hopefully no one's cutting their nails on Shabbos, no one's shaving. Maybe close to Shkia, but not at the Shkia. Everyone's getting ready before Shabbos. How does this play out, Lamaisa? Does it really make a difference to us whether cutting hair, whether cutting nails, is it their eyes at their abundant? So this machloit is really came about Lamaisa, real, very, very real shalom, which happens pretty often, is the discussion between the Taz and the Shach that appears in Hilchos Nida. I left it off of the Maamar Kamos. I don't think we'd have enough time to read through the whole thing, so I'll just try to say it about that. There is a discussion in the Toskim. When a woman goes to the mikvah, so we know that the practice is that a woman's supposed to cut her nails before going to the mikvah. The Rishonim already quote this practice. It's based on two reasons. One is to make sure there's no dirt under the nails, because if there is dirt, that could sometimes be a chatzitza. And the second reason is that if the woman is due to cut her nails, she's planning on cutting her nails anyway in the next day or so. So there's one opinion Rishonim that maintains that the nail itself may be a chatzitza, not just the dirt, but the nail proper may be a chatzitza. So the Shulchan Aruch records an age-old practice from the Rishonim that a woman's supposed to cut her nails before going to the mikvah. It's a minute to cut the nails. It's not mi'ika mi'ikra din. If she didn't cut her nails, mi'ikra din, the tefillah would be acceptable anyway. Reb Chaim Weiser has a tshuva in Europe, already in Vilna from the 1920s. That it was already a problem then that some women didn't want to cut their nails before going to the mikvah. So the Yeshiv Chaim knows what to do. So he said, let them go anyway, as long as the nails are clean. If you drain them a cup, and then they're not going to want to go all together. So let them go to the mikvah anyway, even though the proper thing to do is that they should cut their nails. So the post can discuss in Hilchos Nida, what would the din be if a woman forgot to cut her nails and now it's Friday night? So all preparations for going to the mikvah Friday night have to be done from before Shabbos. So Gavalt, what's she going to do now? She's going to cut her nails, can't cut her nails on Shabbos. So what's she going to do? So the suggestion was made that let's get a goy to cut her nails. Get a non-Jewish woman to cut her nails for her. So in the post can discuss, is that permissible? Isn't that a violation of a Emir Yaakov? How could I ask a goy to do something on my behalf? Now what is she going to do a malacha for me? So some Achvarim Taka said, you're not allowed to, that's for Taz. Taz passed the attack. Not allowed to have a goy do it. The Taz rice, just make sure they're clean and go and finish with the long nails. It doesn't matter. The Tefillah is in Bikshiri anyway, but the Evit. But the Shach says no. The Shach raises the possibility that maybe we could be mapir this woman to ask the non-Jewish woman to cut her nails for. Based on what? Based on the principle of shvus to shvus b'mocha mitzvah. What is permitted to ask the goy to do something which is only a derabbanan if there's a mocha mitzvah involved. It's a double derabbanan. Asking a goy to do a derabbanan. So says the Shach, I'm asking the goy to cut the nails. The cutting the nails themselves are only midrabbanan, as Taisa says. The Shach quotes the Taisa that we just said. Since cutting nails is a malacha she'etzich legufa, and we pass in mikra don't like Rabbi Shimon, the malacha she'etzich legufa is potter. So to ask a goy to cut your nails is asking a goy to do a derabbanan. The local mitzvah of tvila would be mutter. The famous Shach of the Shach that a shvus to shvus of local mitzvah would be mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes in this, and again in this long bi'alacha, he quotes the Shach, and the Mishnah Berurah makes a ha'ara. He says, wait a second, but according to the Rivash, that cutting nails is a deraisa, so the whole kula just fell by the wayside. So that's like asking your goy to do a deraisa for you, which is not mutter, even with local mitzvah. So says the Mishnah Berurah, no, it's still not a problem. You know why it's not a problem, says the Mishnah Berurah? Because even the Rivash only said that cutting nails is a malacha tzvich legufa if your purpose is to beautify the skin. That was the mashal that he gave from the cutting off of the hair, off the animal skins, off the tchashim for the Mishkan. But what if your intention is neither to use the hair, neither to use the nails, nor to beautify the skin? You're doing it for a totally different reason. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to cut your nails. That's what you're doing here. You're not interested in the hair, you're not interested in the nails, you're not interested in the beauty. You just want to go to the mitzvah. The nails are never in the way. You want to get to the mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Beimasi Taisus, Beimasi Rivash is going to be Malach Shechich Legufa. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the one case, to hit the jackpot, the one case where cutting nails is for sure Durabanam, the Choladeus. Is because the person is neither interested in the nails nor interested in beautifying the skin. That's for sure the Rabbanan. Whenever it's for sure the Rabbanan, then you can ask the guy to do a Rabbanan. The Mocha Mitzvah, everything's going to be good. So when all the dust settles, whether getting a regular haircut is their Isa, whether regular shave is their Isa, whether regular cutting nails is their Isa, depends on all the things that we're saying. So this really became a test case, this discussion about Malachas Gozeg, to illustrate many of these important principles in terms of Malacha Shenetzich Legufa. So the basic machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is Malacha Shenetzich Legufa Deraisa or is it Derabanan? And machlekes Rashi and Tosfos as to whether Malacha Shenetzich Legufa is ultimately defined by Mishkan or whether it's defined by the Ratzon of the person or the lack thereof. Then you have machlekes the Rambam and the Raya, but how do we pass in Lamaisa? Then you have machlekes Tosfos and the Rivash about how does Gozeg fit into this picture. According to Tosfos, Gozeg is just plain, simple, Malach Shenetzich Legufa issue, everything of the above. And the Rivash says, no, that Gozeg is at a different dimension to it, because you can have a Gozeg which, although it appears to be an Tzrich Legufa, in reality would be Tzrich Legufa. And this plays out Lamais in terms of the cutting nails for the mitzvah, that it comes out according to all the Cheshbonis, the cutting nails for the mitzvah would only be a Malach Shenetzich Legufa, which the way most of the Rishonim do not accept the Rambam, most of the Rishonim pass him that it's only a Derabbanan. That's what the minhag today, Adayim Mizah, the minhag is in the mikvahs. If a woman forgot to cut a nail, so we have to do ask a non-Jewish woman to cut for her, based on the principle of shvus to shvus b'mocha mitzvah. The Taz has another objection against that eighth, based on something totally different. Hopefully we'll talk about this at another time. That's the issue of Messiah. When the woman is putting her hand forward, is that considered to be that she's doing part of the malacha also? Or do we say only the guy who's doing the actual cutting is doing the malacha? That's already a different topic in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So in that one, hopefully we'll talk about that dimension. But in terms of Lech Shabbos, we'll at least use this as a model to try to understand some of the basic problem in this principle.